Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 20. We're talking about three types of faith. And some of you probably never thought about it this way. But in the last few weeks, we talked about human faith. We talked about demonic faith. And we talked about God's faith. Let me start reading and then we'll review quickly what we're talking about. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up by the root. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Jesus, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God." Or more closer, have God's type of faith. So Jesus said, have God's type of faith. For assuredly, I say to you. Now, notice he says assuredly. What does that mean? Word assuredly, I say unto you. I'm so serious. Okay. Why would somebody say assuredly, I say unto you? To make you more sure. He says, for sure I tell you. Assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. Now, this is the spiritual principle. You will have whatever you say. If you were to say something about Pastor Alex, what do I repeat a lot of times at church? Tell me. Listen, it's not for the purpose of hurting you or putting somebody down. It's for the purpose of growing you. And those things that challenge us, that's where we truly grow. Amen? When we lift something heavy, that's when our muscles grow. When we just lift something for, then we don't grow. And church is a school. Church is a place where we learn and grow. Amen? So Jesus says, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. Now notice one thing. The tree didn't die when Jesus cursed it right away. That tree, the fig tree, didn't die right away. There is time before God says, and it happens. Remember when God created the world? And God says, let there be light. And light was. We don't know how long it took. But we know it did happen. We know that fig tree didn't die right away when Jesus cursed it. But it did die 24 hours later. So one thing, a lot of times we say something and we expect to see it happen right away. And when it doesn't happen, we just go say negative things. How many of you know that we live in a world where it's easier to say negative things? Yeah, it's easier. It's just more natural to be complaining, to be depressed and negative. It's easier. But it's much more harder to be positive and walking in faith. Faith always looks for the better. Fear always complains and walks in fear. So we want to live in faith. Amen? We want to speak those things that we want to happen in our life. Don't say I'm stupid. Don't say I'm just dumb. I'll never make it to anything. Don't say I'll be on welfare or, No. Don't say that in your life. Begin to speak what you want to see in your life. Now, don't run up to people and say, I'm going to be a movie star. Oh, yeah, I'm all that. No. That's kind of pride. They're going to get mad. You don't want that. But you need to speak to yourself, I am what God says I am. Those desires that I have inside of me are from God. You know what Bible says? It is God who causes us to will and to do. Your willing is not your willing. It is God who causes you to will and then to do. First the willing, then the doing. A lot of times we want to do something that's not according to God's willing. And it won't work. We have to find out, God, what is your will for my life? And that's what I'm going to do. You know that Jesus, when he was born, as he was a baby, he didn't know everything. Bible says he emptied himself. You know what that means? He was God, but he emptied himself of God and started growing. I mean, it's not like a baby was sitting there and looking at mama and understanding everything the mama was saying. He had to learn everything. Bible says Jesus grew up in spirit, in faith, and in love. He grew. And Bible says that Jesus grew up in the Word of God as well. He had to study the Word of God so he could know the will of God. And as Jesus began to study the Word of God, he began to see, guess who? Himself in it. Yeah. His mother must have told him, you know, Joseph is not your father. You are born of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus like, what? At first he was like, what do you mean? Imagine this boy. I mean, he didn't come as a super, he didn't fall from heaven. He was born as a baby. He had to learn the language. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to read. He had to remember the scriptures. He had to grow. He had to be obedient, Bible says, to his parents. Huh. Pretty cool. Sometimes you think Jesus must have knew everything. You know, here's two-day-old baby just looking. Oh, I know everything. I'm God, you know. Look at me. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, this is Jesus, to you, to us. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. Now, prayer means you're praying to somebody. Okay, so it's not like whatever thing you ask, who? Whatever things you ask God when you pray. Okay, so let's establish that. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Notice, you have to believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now notice it doesn't say received. What's the difference between receive and received? It doesn't say received, it says receive. Can we change that word with take? Receive is take. See guys, it doesn't say received. So as soon as you pray, you didn't have it in your hand. You receive it, meaning it's a process. Hold on. Do you see that or it didn't say you receive, meaning here. My Bible, receive it. See, she received it now. But receive it. Receive. See? Receiving it. See, it's a process. Receiving, it's a process. There's three types of faith. There's human faith. What is human faith? Human faith is a combination of human wisdom and willpower of a human. Now, human faith is not something that's only given to Christians. Would you believe that? Human faith is available to anybody in the world. It's a gift at birth. We are made in the image of God, and God has faith and uses faith, so it has been given to us. Now, it would be foolish to say that Christians are the only one who have faith. Muslims have faith. Faith is like a tool, okay? It's like force. So not only Christians have faith, we believe in something. People believe in different things. So we are given faith at our birth. Just like you've been given your intellect, just like you've been given your willpower, just like you've been given your emotions, just like you've been given ability to love, you've been given ability of faith. Amen or no? Also, we have a thing called fear as well. That ability. We have that ability called fear. And fear is opposite of faith. Whenever you fear, it's opposite of faith. And that's why God says, don't fear. Walk in faith. Why is human faith attractive? Why is human faith attractive? Human faith is attractive because it helps a person achieve great things in life. Okay? People go down into the deep waters and discover different things. Why do they do that? Because of their faith. People climb high mountains, Everest and Andes and whatever. You would think, why would a person do that? Why would a person climb a high mountain? What makes them do that? Human faith. Because they can, but why don't everybody do it? Some people have faith for it. Some people have fear for it. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody should climb a mountain. Hold on there. But human faith makes people go to the moon. Human faith makes people create all kinds of technologies. Human faith. The guy who created a light bulb took him 1,000 times, over 1,000 times. What makes a person try and try and try again? Human faith. He believed it has to work. I don't know why it's not working yet. I don't know why it's messing up, but I believe it's going to work. That's human faith. Now, what's the danger of human faith? Help me out. Danger of human faith is pride. Because notice, human faith doesn't need God. I mean, in communist Russia, they didn't need God, and they sent the first spaceship. Now, they didn't land on the moon. Armstrong landed on the moon, but they went first into space in 1960. Okay? What made them do that? Human faith. They didn't believe in God. What is the benefits of human faith? Is that it makes a person great. If you want to be great in this world, you have to use that ability that you already possess from childbirth. It's a gift from God. It's called human faith. Now, human faith is also limited, though. There's so much you can do with your human abilities, with your willpower, with your mind, with your wisdom. You're limited. Amen? So people, when they reach limits or rooftop of their human ability, they start, and this is the next type of faith, it's called demonic faith. What is a demonic faith? It's a demonic wisdom and demonic power. Do you remember Jesus? When he was just starting his ministry, devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, bow down to me and I'll give you, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, if you bow down to me, I'll give them all to you. Satan also has wisdom. Satan also has power. Satan's power is greater than human power. You know, when stars and rock stars and people who use inspiration, when they run out of their own inspiration, they have to, not so much substitute, they have to get a source of energy from somewhere else. Yeah, so they start looking for the sources of power. That's why a lot of them go into Eastern religions. They're searching, how can I get more? I ran out of myself anymore. I cannot write any more songs. I need inspiration from beyond. And so they start practicing in all kind of occultic practices so they can, you know, get some more inspiration and power. So Satan also offers power and wisdom. When Eve was deceived, do you remember? Satan says, you will have the knowledge of good and evil. He was offering some kind of knowledge. And the knowledge was of evil. She already knew good. God created everything good. So Satan says, I'll give you some more knowledge. Some of you maybe believe in ghosts and things like that. And maybe some human spirits, you know, the lost spirits. Even when the devil is nice to you, he is trying to deceive you. When he came to Jesus and said to him, I'll give you all these things. Wasn't it nice of him? Isn't it a nice devil? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me. Just give me one little bow. And you'll have it all. And Jesus probably said, aren't you nice, Satan? Look at you. But Satan doesn't give anything for free. There is a price, and price is your soul. And it's the soul. And some people either give their soul willingly, by signing some blood covenant, or unwillingly. And I've told you this before, and it'll happen to you, because people who are not doing anything, he's not so much worried about. He's worried of people about faith. See, God looking for people of faith, and Satan looking for people of faith. Hold on, are you with me? See, Satan doesn't care about a person who doesn't do anything, just lives there, or, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be happy. He's like, okay, fine, leave him alone, you know. But as soon as you see a person with a dream, with a vision, and that person just cannot sit still. I got to do something. I got to, and Satan says, hey, how about we sing a duet? Come. See, demonic faith is a human faith and a demonic faith combination. Human and demonic faith. That's like a duet with the devil. I said that last week. He says, come. So Satan is looking for people of faith. People who want to achieve something. And just like he came to Jesus, he says, you can have it all. For the price of your soul, obviously. Jesus said, no, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only. And him alone you shall serve. That, no. He said, I'm going to get everything anyway. Yeah, it's going to take a cross to get it. But Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Then you'll gain the whole world. Satan says, I'll give it to you now. Just give me your soul. Jesus said, no, I'll get it in 3 years. Through the cross. But it's going to be forever for eternity, and it won't cost me my soul. I'm not going to lose my soul for eternity. He'll come to you and says, I'll give you that business you wanted to. Just bow down. Just give me your soul. And how he does it, he comes through your thoughts. He'll come to you and speak to you through a movie. He'll come and speak to you through a song. It doesn't matter. He'll come and speak to you through your enemy or whatever. He'll come and speak to you. See, he doesn't have to speak audibly. He doesn't have a voice, so he can't speak to you audibly, but he'll speak to you through your thoughts. And I remember when that moment I was desperate, and Satan came and said, through my thoughts, just like, hey, you know, just, I can give you all these things you want now. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to play with the devil. I don't want to sing duets with the devil. No. I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to go through the pain and suffering if it has to be. Because God is going to give me everything he promised. Anyway, but I'm not going to lose my soul. So what if you gain the whole world and get rich and famous and glorious and powerful, but you lose your soul for eternity? It's not worth it. Besides, Satan wouldn't let you live a full life. For a lot of them, he just takes their life, who gave them their souls. So Jesus was tempted. We are tempted. A lot of people we know are tempted. That's called demonic faith. That's connecting your faith with the devil. Okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. Say, devil, I will worship the Lord my God only. In him alone I will serve. Because notice, when you bow down, you become a servant. He says, I will not serve you. Remember? See, Jesus is giving us a clue. He says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Satan says, just one time bow down. And Jesus, no, it's not one time worship. It's a worship. You start worshiping the devil, and then you start serving the devil. So everything you achieve, it's in service of the devil. And he thought he's given it all to you. Oh, you're going to be rich and famous. And you're going to do great things in life. No. You're going to be a slave to the devil, and there's no worse thing in life than to be a slave to the devil. So how many of you got what demonic faith is? Demonic faith is an open rebellion against God. When human faith is not so much secret, subconscious rebellion against God. Demonic faith is an open rebellion. It's like, God, I don't want you. I'm going to be a friend of your enemy. Okay? What's God's type of faith?
What is God's type of faith?
God's type of faith is combination of wisdom of God
and power of God.
And Jesus said, I don't want you to have your faith. I don't want you to have demonic faith. I want you to connect your faith with the faith of God. Together, duet. I want to sing a duet with God, not with the devil. I don't want to be a solo. Because what human faith does, and the danger of human faith, when it achieves great things, it proclaims itself God. See, it's neutral. Human faith is neutral. What are you going to connect it to? If you make yourself God, you connect it to the negative. If you make God your God, you connect it to the positive. And God wants us to connect our faith with Him. And that's why Jesus said, have God's type of faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, I want to read something for you. Oh, this is beautiful. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Let me read it again. Bible says, don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. See, this is what human faith says. It's my power and my might that gained me this. I am all that. That's what human faith says. But God says, don't say that. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as is of this day. How many of you are with me here? By giving you power to get wealth, He's actually proving His covenant with you. It's the devil who wants to steal from you. When he makes a person be a drug addict, do you think he wants him to be wealthy? Come on, he steals. When he makes a person addicted to anything, do you think he wants him to have wealth and multiply that wealth? No. That's the power to take away wealth. But it is God who gives you power to get an ability to get wealth. So He can establish His covenant. That's how He establishes. There's a covenant between you and me and God. That's called New Covenant. In His blood, right? Human faith is saying, I can do all this. But God says, no. Why don't you connect your faith with mine? And says, it is God who gave me power to get this. It is God who gave me power to get wealth. Human faith is dangerous because it declares itself God. Even if it doesn't never says that I'm God, subconsciously, spiritually, it says I'm God. Look what I've done. Demonic faith says I hate God. I don't want nothing to do with God. I'm with the devil. And Jesus says have God type of faith. Connect your faith with God. And God's faith is attractive as well. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. But it's not only wealth. God gives you joy. God gives you peace. God gives you everlasting life. Eternity with Him. See, God's faith is very attractive. Jesus says, I have come to give you life to the fullest. God's faith is very attractive. And so Jesus says, connect your faith with God's faith. Disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus said, have faith in God. What kind of answer is that? Jesus, come on, answer it. Disciples come and say, increase our faith. And Jesus says, just have faith in God. What did Jesus mean? He meant, take the faith that you already have. It is stupid for me right now to say, God, I need 4 more inches. I want to be like LeVar. Give me 4 more inches. It's stupid, right? God says, I give you 5'10" and a half. And it's enough for you to accomplish everything I willed for you to accomplish. For the rest of your life, it's perfect. See, it's stupid to ask God to give you a little more height. Wear heels, yeah, I mean, you can do that, but I remember I used to look for, I would go to the, in Doc Martens had those huge heels, remember that? And I'll get, I feel a little taller. I wish I was a little bit tall. You know that song? Anyway, so it's a stupid, just like it's stupid to ask God, God, increase my height. So it's stupid to say, God, increase my faith. God says, the faith that you already have, connected with God. The weakness of Christianity, ready for this? Is that we say, God, give me your faith, but we don't use our faith. A lot of Christians says, well, human faith is dangerous because I could get proud. That's true. That's true. But just because, you know, you wash your face and you could get proud too. So what, you don't wash your face? You don't do your hair? If you smell good, you might get proud. So what, you stop taking shower? Help me out here. Are you still with me? So just because human faith is dangerous, doesn't mean we stop using it. See, God is saying, connect your human faith with mine. The weakness of Christianity, we pray and say, God, please give me your faith. I have a big dream, God. I've been prophesied to. But I'm not going to do anything. I'm waiting for you to do something. See, human faith works. If you know you're supposed to be a doctor, then you should go to school and ask God to give you wisdom. And when you go through school, don't say, look what I've done. Say, God helped me do this. It is because of power of God I'm here. But a lot of us Christians, and this is, we just want to be lazy. And I'm sorry to say that. But we just want to sit there and say, well, God is going to do it. No. God is not going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to connect your faith with God and He's going to help you. Look at David. Let me give you David. A little boy, 17 years old, a shepherd boy. His sheep are, you know, in the field, and a lion comes and a bear comes. And David has a choice to use his human faith or to not use his human faith. Human faith is go and get the lamb back when a lion stole it. No faith would be a better run because that lion is pretty big. Help me out here. So what does David do? He says, I'm going to use my human faith and I'm going to go get that little lamb. Human faith acts. Now, nothing wrong with that. Did God help him get that lamb back? I don't think so. Yes, God helps us with everything, right? I mean, but anybody could have done it, you know, with a big stick and you know, with some skill. I mean, David was a warrior since he was a kid, right? I mean, Bible talks about he was just a killer, killing machine. I mean, he was G.I. Joe, you know? David was just, I mean, God wouldn't even let him build a temple because he said, you're a killing machine. You have blood, I mean, up your neck, you know? So he was probably a warrior. But guess what? He could run away from the bear or lion, or he can run to it and take it. Then comes Goliath. And David says, well, this is huge. This is huge. But when he hurt, this is so amazing. I got goosebumps. When he hurt this giant curse the armies of God, and when he heard him curse Jehovah God, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He takes 5 stones and he goes and fights this giant. And the first stone he throws, God supercharges. Notice, he connects his faith with God. See, David wouldn't have killed that huge guy. Bible says he was a warrior, that huge giant, Goliath, was a warrior from his youth. And David was youth. came with a stick at him. I mean, this Goliath came with another guy carrying his weapons and stuff, and he knocks him over. God wants us to use our faith in little things. Whenever a problem comes your way, how do you deal with it? Do you go, when a lion comes to steal your sheep or a lamb or whatever in our time, whatever he comes to steal, do you go after him and say, you give it back? Or do you say, oh, just don't touch me. You can take the sheep or a lamb, just don't hurt me. David says, You touch my lamb, you touch me. And he goes and knocks him down. And the Bible says, if the lion would start attacking David says she would kill him. See, at first he wouldn't kill him. He would just take the lamb. But he says, if the lion really wanted the lamb and started attacking David, David says, I would kill him. Oh, beautiful. Moses, God says, go and deliver my people from Israel, from Egypt. And he says, who am I, Lord? I can't do it. God says, go in my power. See, that's connecting your human ability with, and we're going to talk about it next week. Use your faith, connect your faith with God. Your faith has a limit. It's limited, yeah. There's so much you can do with your own will, with your own intellect, with your own wisdom. We're limited. The Bible says if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. See, there's a limit for our wisdom. We lack it. That this is as far as we go and no more. God says, ask me. I'm unlimited in wisdom. My challenge to you today, and I feel this in the Holy Spirit, is that you begin to use your human faith. And human faith is something like this. Do things like God is not helping you. If God wasn't helping you, you have a big dream, right? And there's no God to help you. But you still want to achieve that dream. What would you do? You'd work your off. I mean, that's how hard you would work. That's human faith. And then the second part, pray like you are working like God is not helping you. Praying like you are powerless to do anything. Working like God is not going to help you. Praying like you are powerless. That's two faith coming together. You're praying to God and say, God, without you, I'm powerless. But second part, second half of that medal is I'm working like God is not going to help me. If God said you're going to be a millionaire and you feel it in your heart, then one thing, you can't just pray and say, God, do it. I'm powerless to do it. That's one side of it. Yes, you say, God, and isn't it like paradoxical? I mean, it's so, ouch. You work like God is not going to help you. You do everything possible to make your family work like God is not helping you. And then you pray and say, God, I'm just so weak. I'm powerless to make my marriage work or to make my relationships work or to start this business or to go to school and finish school. I'm powerless. God, help me. See, those two things, human faith working and human faith connecting in prayer with God. And that tree didn't wither in 1 hour. It took 24 hours for the tree to die. And if it took 24 hours for Jesus, we think Jesus did everything on the spot. It might take you 24 hours, 48 hours, or 3 months, or a few years. But it will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. You've got to give your faith time to grow. Sometimes God gives faith in a seed form. Hold on. Sometimes God gives faith in a seed form. Meaning you have to plant it and let it mature. And your fear and negative speaking will pull out that seed.
Can God do it like this? Yeah.
But will I be able to handle it? No. So sometimes we plant a seed, we worship God, and watch it grow. And eventually we're like, wow, God, what I believed for is actually happening. And it happens usually overnight, just like suddenly. I love those, you wait, and then just, when you didn't expect it, just suddenly. Sometimes you wait for a long time, and then suddenly. And you're like, God, it's too much. But I thank you. But I'm able to handle it now. It's not like giving a baby a razor blade. I can handle it now, God. I've matured. I grew up. Listen, we cannot please God without faith. Annie and I were talking about, maybe we're still thinking about selling our house. And we're like, maybe we should buy a smaller house, just for some reason, I feel inside, no. It doesn't take faith to buy a smaller house. And not that I need a bigger house. I mean, I'm totally satisfied. But God says, believe me for more. Never believe for less. It doesn't take faith. And if it doesn't take faith, it doesn't please God. If it doesn't take faith, it doesn't please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Church, God has taken us somewhere. We still got about 2 more weeks with these faith series. Please don't miss any of them. We're going to talk about more. We're going to understand this technology of God called faith. Faith is a technology of God. He's sharing it with us through the Word of God. I am a man of faith. But I'm not there yet. I'm still going. There's more. You are a people of faith. Don't just stop now. Reach more. Reach for more. Study the Word of God. Read Gospels this week. Or one Gospel this week. Read a chapter this week if you never read anything. If you never given financially, give. Do something. Go farther. Be a regular giver, but you're not a tither. Tithe. Try it. Go beyond. Use your faith. Love one another more. Love your spouse even more this week. Takes faith, yeah. Love your children even more. Faith is never believing for negative. You don't need faith. That's fear. Faith is always God has some a next step for me. And it's up, not down. It's hallelujah. To Israel, God says, I fed you in wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Sometimes God will humble you, test you, but the reason He does that is to do you good at the end. The end product is good.